Today's sermon reading is from Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 27. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil.
Well, good morning. Welcome this morning. If I haven't met you, my name is Jim. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my privilege to lead us in a study of God's Word. So let's first begin by prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we have already had together. We thank you for this place, this moment where we can slow down and consider who you are, who we are, and the hope that we have because of Jesus Christ. And Father, now as we come to your word and as we consider your truths, we do come in prayer to you, asking for you to help us, that you would speak to us, that you would lead us in the way of life and peace. Well, we do ask that you would fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Please work now. We need you. Unless you come, unless you work, we know all that we do is in vain. So we look to you, our God, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we move into the fall, we wanted to have a short three-week series on spiritual formation. So today, we'll look at the foundations for spiritual formation. Next week, we'll look at scripture and spiritual formation, and then the following week, we'll look at prayer and spiritual formation. So that's kind of a mini-series as we start this semester, and then in January, I'd like to come back to this. I think that's pretty far away, but my plan is to come back to this and look at three more areas: worship and spiritual formation, friendship, and nature. And so another three-week series as we start the spring semester. So that's the plan. So today, foundations of spiritual formation. So what are we talking about when we say spiritual formation? What am I directing us toward? We come to this word formation, right? We can dissect this a little bit. Formation points to building, growth, development, movement towards a specific goal. We can think of some opposites of formation: stagnation, no movement, no development, no growth. Or we can think of deformation, not only not moving, but going backwards, regressing, weakening, breaking down. So if we started and I said, let's talk about physical formation, we'd probably all quickly be on the same page. Physical formation does not just mean adding size, right? We can do that quite easily, some of us. Adding size, that's not what physical formation is, right? It's moving our body, maybe through exercise, through the way that we eat, moving our body more so it is fitting design according to its design, useful according to its design, proper purpose and good use. So we get physical formation, but we are talking about spiritual formation, spiritual development. So I want to have two introductory thoughts, kind of just to get us on the same page a little bit, and then we'll look at this from a few different angles. So first introductory thought, as we talk about spiritual formation, we are recognizing that there is a proper goal or end to our spiritual lives. We're built into something. We're developing towards a certain goal. So that's what we're saying. We're talking about spiritual formation. We're saying, well, this means we can go somewhere in our spiritual lives. And I think throughout church history and even today and in many of our hearts, this is one of the places in Christian practice where we often go astray. It's very easy to think of spiritual formation and immediately have the wrong target in front of us. And if we're aiming at the wrong target, are we going to hit the right target? No, right? If you aim at the wrong target, you're not going to hit the right target. I think maybe a decent illustration is if you picture a young man who's starting to lift weights. He gets his workout plan in the beginning, right? You have whole body workout plan. You get this plan for many, right? You start to work out and you say, oh, I really would like to have a bigger chest and bigger arms. I don't care about waist depth. I don't care about my legs that much. So the goal shifts, right? Now it's just all above the waist. How can he look big? And his practice changes. Leg day is pushed aside week after week, month after month. And the end result is he hits that target of maybe a big upper body, but it's a deformed form, right? It doesn't look right. If we aim at the wrong target, we will hit the wrong target. So we come to Scripture, and this is the first introductory thought. We're talking about spiritual formation. What is the goal? It's not just outward behavior. It's not just thinking about our practice, right? Those are a part of it, but that's not the goal. The goal that is so clear in Scripture is that spiritual formation is having a deep and pervasive heart change, where what we love changes and we grow into people who live lives of love. And I think for many of us, we probably can look at our own hearts, maybe in the past, maybe even present today, or we can look at certain Christian communities and we've seen this other goal of Christian spiritual formation, which is just the external behavior, is just the outward. And we see that that actually is a deformed form of spiritual formation. We're not going towards the right goal. And we go to Scripture and we see, even very specifically in the teaching of Jesus, this is something that Jesus Christ was so passionate about as he interacted with others. This was of deep concern to him, that people understand that to grow as a Christian, to develop as a follower of Christ, it does not mean just practice and behavior. It's all about the heart. It's all about what we love, right? You can think of, I love the time when he's speaking to the religious leaders and he says to them, you are a bunch of whitewashed tombs. Outwardly, you look great. You appear beautiful. Inwardly, you are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. That's not the goal. That's not the goal. It's deep, pervasive heart change that leads to lives of love. So that's the first introductory thought. There is a goal. We must have the proper goal. Secondly, when we see that that's the goal, that my heart has changed, that what I love changes, when we see that goal, we will quickly realize that there's only one way to get to that goal. And we'll quickly realize it's not just a switch that we flip. Like, oh, I'm supposed to change here in my heart what I love, right? Deep down inside, I can't just flip that switch. And we come to realize, and we see this taught throughout Scripture, that we must have the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ at work in us to see, to move towards, to develop towards this goal of deep, pervasive heart change, right? We need the power of God, and God offers that again and again in Scripture, and then he calls us to, with all our might, with all our strength, to pursue it, but it's this dynamic of we absolutely need God's power to see real change inside our hearts as we work with all the strength that we have. This works together. So those are the two introductory thoughts as we get started. The goal, right? You've heard that deep, pervasive heart change, lives of love, the way God has a very active part in that. But we'll unpack that a little more. I want to look at this by answering four main questions. These are my four main points. You can hear these. We will start with why. Why should we care about this? Then explain the what, dive deeper into what spiritual formation really is. Then clarify the how. How do we get there? I think Christianity, the Bible, gives us a very unique approach to growth, to spiritual growth. So talk about the how more. And then lastly, we will try to understand the when. How does this happen? How do we grow When does this happen? When should we expect to see this grow? So start with why, explain the what, clarify the how, and understand the when. So let's first look at start with why. This is my attempt to get you to listen to me for 20 or so more minutes, right? I want you to be drawn to this topic. If I started today kind of back to the theme of physical formation and said, I have the surefire way for you to lose 20 pounds, easy, 3 steps, or I know the way to get a six-pack. I don't know the way. Well, maybe I know the way. I haven't walked that path yet. But if I said, like, I have this secret, what would you do? Like, how would my view of you all change? Like, kind of on the edge of your seat, like, ready to listen. Or if I said, you know, I have found the secret to leading you to a financial position where you'll have no more struggles in this area. Financial formation is presented to you. We're all kind of on the edge of our seat, like, how do I get there? You know? But we're talking about spiritual formation, about growing in love, about moving towards a way of life where we turn from selfish desires and sacrifice for those around us. Do we see the value in that? Does that move us to the edge of our seats? Like, how do I get there? How can I move towards that? Well, it should. That's why we're starting with why. I'm going to tell you why this is so important. First, we can look at 1 Timothy 4. Paul here is counseling a young pastor named Timothy. And hear what he says. Hear this. He says to him, train yourself for godliness. Train yourself for godliness. While bodily training is of some value, so this ancient teacher believes in exercise. There's some value in exercise. There's some value in taking care of our bodies, physical value, emotional value, I would say even spiritual value to exercise. So there's some value in bodily training, but then he continues, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And then in just a few more words, a little bit later, he says, for this we toil, for this we strive. This godliness that is of great value. It's valuable, he says, in every way. It's valuable in every way, and it's a value that lasts not only for this life, it is valuable now to pursue this spiritual formation, God. It's valuable now, but also it will maintain its value to the day of your death and on into eternity forever. This is some great value, Paul is saying. This is something we should train for. This is something we should toil and strive and work to see in our lives because it has value in every way. So how does it have value? What is this value? Godliness, becoming like God. Why is this valuable to us? Why should we be on the edge of our seats like, how do I get this? As we hear this, spiritual formation or moving towards this godliness is returning to God's purpose for us. It is becoming more like God. We were made in his image. It's returning to that. So you think of spiritual formation, it has value because it's moving us back to this design that God has for us, where he designed us as deeply relational beings who are meant to love, meant to care, meant to be in friendship, in community. And part of spiritual formation is moving us back to a place where we can do that in better ways, where we can love and give and sacrifice. That's of great value for us in our relationships. Or it has value. Spiritual formation has value because, again, we're going to the deep places of the heart. And as we understand ourselves, as we live our lives, much of our issues in life come from this divided heart where we want this and this, and these two things can't go together. Where my selfish heart wants this, but also I know that, well, I should want this, and sometimes I do want this good thing. We have divided hearts, but in spiritual formation, our hearts are being united more and more. As the psalmist prays, unite my heart to fear my name. So our hearts, in a sense, are being put together. Our desires are being ordered. unified towards one goal, and there's peace that comes from that, right? There's chaos before. I have these different desires that war against themselves, and I don't know what to do, and I feel the angst of that. I feel the turmoil of that. I feel the lack of peace. Well, spiritual formation is moving us to love what is most lovable, to love God, and our hearts become more and more unified around what is good. How valuable is that? Of course, this is something we want. Risha read for us from Proverbs 4, and we see here the father speaking to his son. And you can kind of hear the love of the father. I love the way Eugene Peterson writes this in his paraphrase, The Message, some of these same verses. He says this, "My son, keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate on it. Learn it by heart. Those who discover these words really live." They really live, body and soul. They're bursting with health. So, son, take my words because this is good for you. It leads you to true life, body and soul. So why is this valuable? Why do we want to listen? It leads us back to our design purpose. It leads us to unified hearts. And we think of all the deep problems we face in our lives, the struggles we face. How do I remove this anger from my heart? How do I move away from this discontentment that plagues me, the envy that comes, the jealousy that comes? How do I move away from these lusts that pop up in my heart? How do I do all these things? How do I move from these things? Spiritual formation is God's way of developing us, moving us towards that goal of godliness, becoming like God, greater communion with God, and there we will find peace. I think it's so important to see that God invites us into spiritual formation. And part of this is Him developing us into people of love, but people of great substance, people of great depth, people who can step into a situation and really care for others, people who step into a situation and aren't thinking about themselves, but how can I serve? How can I care? And not in a superficial way, but a deep heart change that leads to that kind of love. And I think as we live in a world, maybe even with, you think the public release of AI in the last few years, that's moving more and more towards some shallowness, towards some hollow living, you know, missing out on the formation that happens, you know, through writing the paper, the process itself leads us to certain depth, leads us to certain knowledge. Well, God's way of spiritual formation is leading us into substantive lives, deep lives of grace and love. So here's the why. On the front, here's the why. We want this. We want to be led to this place of peace. We want to be led to these lives of love. And the best thing we can do for those around us is to be deeply formed by Jesus Christ in this way. As parents for our kids, as spouses for our husband or wife, as friends, what is the best thing we can do for those around us? Be deeply formed by Christ into the image of Christ. This deep, pervasive heart change. So that's first. I know you're on the edge of your seats now, like, yes, let's get into this, right? That's the why. Let's look more at the what. What really is this? I've said this a few times. We're talking about deep heart change leading to love. This is the goal of Christian living, and this is the goal when we talk about spiritual formation. That's where we want to go. Paul again said to Timothy in 1 Timothy, he said, the aim of our charge. So he's an older pastor writing to a younger pastor, and he says, the aim of all that we do, the reason you step up to preach, the reason you meet with people, the reason you have conversations, the reason for life, Timothy, the aim of our charge is love. That people would know love, God's love, that people would be brought into love. It's the same idea we've been talking about. This is the aim, Paul says. This is our goal. Not just to create these people who look a certain way or who all talk a certain way or who all have the same practices. That's not the aim. The aim is not to get everybody to go to church. The aim is not to get everybody to read their Bibles. The aim is not all these things, some of them very good. The aim is love. How do we, right? You can picture Paul and Timothy talking. How do we get people to really be changed internally, to have lives of love? The aim of our charge is love. And he shows how that flows through an understanding of what Jesus Christ has done. It flows through having a good conscience, where we take, when we see the selfishness pop up in our hearts, we see sin pop up, the good conscience comes from bringing that to the cross of Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness, and because I know that forgiveness, I can be led into a life of love. It's having a pure, undivided heart, he says, focused on Jesus. It's by having a sincere faith, not just this external put-on stuff, but a sincere faith. This is how we get to love. So the what is, very clearly, love. And love is displayed beautifully for us by the life of Jesus Christ, the one who loved his disciples to the end, the one who said, greater love has no man than this, then he laid down his life for his friends. Our spiritual formation is being led to this place where more and more we look like Jesus, and we can sacrifice for others like Jesus. We can think of others like Jesus did. Paul says in Romans, we are being conformed into the image of his Son. In 2 Corinthians, as we behold the glory and beauty of Jesus, we're transformed, we're being changed, the process is happening from one degree of glory to another. And he says to the Galatians, the goal of our ministry is that Christ would be formed in you. So here's the what. Heart change, love, like Jesus. Just a few more thoughts here, maybe getting a little bit more granular here, a little more specific. I think it's helpful to think, especially back in the Reformation, John Calvin liked to use the word piety. And I know that word piety doesn't immediately hit us like, yes, piety. If someone came up and said, you're pious, like if they said it to me, like, is that a compliment? Is that an insult? I'm not sure, right? We don't use that word, but I think it's so helpful here. What is the goal? Well, John Calvin and others would say piety. And piety is living with a reverence and awe of who God is, like seeing God and loving him, seeing him truly, and these have to go together. We see God truly, we will love him. So we think about spiritual formation. I think a similar word is piety, and the process works like this. We get this clear, glorious view of God as he really is. We see his beauty and his love, maybe specifically often in the cross of Christ, like that this really happened, that this is really the center of the universe, this is the center of history and the center of my life, that God sent his Son to die in my place. This sacrificial love permeates everything. So we see this and we truly experience the real God, the God of the cross, the God who did this. We experience him. And it leads us to just stand back in reverence and awe. What a glorious God. And once we see God for who he is, then the next step is obvious. If that's who he is, I delight in him, and I want to live the way he's called me to live. He is so amazingly loving. He's done all this for us, then of course I'm going to obey him. Of course I'm going to run to his word and look for his commands and look for ways to live. I want to honor him. I want to glorify him. He is my delight. And then from this, it leads to, as we honor and obey, as we keep his commands, Jesus says, this is what love is, keeping his commands. So we say, well, the goal of spiritual formation is deep, pervasive heart change. As we get a little more specific, it's seeing God, delighting in him. Of course, I want to honor him, and then I want to become like him, and God is love. God is love. This is spiritual formation. Growing in this love. So we have to step into experiencing this God. So how, even more specifically, how do we experience this God? It's so clear in Scripture. As we live our lives and we see our selfishness, Eric pointed to this a little bit in the call to repentance, we live our lives and we can't help but see our selfishness. We don't, which may be our tendency, kind of let time pass and stop feeling guilty. We don't kind of just like ignore it and move on to other things. The beauty of the way of Christ is we see our sinfulness. We see these things inside our hearts, and we bring them to our God. We confess our sins. The way of the Christian life is repentance and faith, repentance and faith. And we do these things, and we experience God. How often is our lack of intimacy with God, how often does that come from just not dealing with him in the way that he's called us to deal with him? Where we bring these things to him and we find his forgiveness and we feel again in the moment the cleansing blood of Christ. He died to cover me. That's how we experience God. As we experience him more, as we experience him, it'll lead us to delight and want to obey and then love. That's the process. Or we can experience God through communion with him in prayer, moving towards him. And as we see him answer specific prayers, we see, yeah, he is real. He actually is so present and active in our lives. This is not just made up. This isn't just here for Sunday mornings. He is active. We experience in him. And this process of formation flows from that experience. Just this past week, we have been praying specific prayers. My wife, especially for my daughter, who we sent away last week, which I tried not to mention too much, but it was sad. But specific prayer requests, and it was amazing how clearly God answered my wife's prayer for my daughter. Like, in, you can ask her about it, specific ways. So we experience that. Why? Because we move, she specifically moved towards God, crying out, right, in prayer for our daughter that we missed, that God would do, and he did it so specifically. And so you experience God, it moves you more to reverence and awe for who he is. Then, yes, I want to obey this God. I want to give him my life. I want to sacrifice. And it leads to, in our marriages, loving each other. It leads to, in our friendships, loving and sacrificing for each other. This is what spiritual formation is. This is the what. We can say at one level, I don't care if you come to church every week. I do, but I don't care if you read your Bible. I don't care if that's all just the external things so you can show people that you're here. No, that's not the goal. The goal is this deep and pervasive heart change. This is what Jesus worked toward, taught about, focused on. It's love growing in our hearts, this deep change in us. So that's the what. Now let's, in our time left, look at quickly the how and the when. So how does this happen more specifically? Definitely some overlap between these points. Maybe sometimes I get ahead of myself, but let's think specifically, how does this happen? We've mentioned this, but two agents in this, God primarily. God is doing this in us. God offers his power. And then in a lesser way, but still real, we are called to work with everything in us to toil and strive towards this goal of spiritual formation, of growth and love. So first, God. John chapter 15, Jesus makes this clear. He calls his followers to abide in him. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. He it is that grows, spiritual formation happens. He it is that loves. Then he says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So where do we start? God, I can't do any of this on my own. I don't have the power. I don't have the strength. This isn't like a switch you flip. God, I need your power. And Peter says we have his power if we come to him. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And Paul says in another place, we have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We have that power. I look at my heart sometimes, I think, man, how can this guy, this chump, ever grow in love? How can this self ever, like, this seems impossible. Divine power is how. Jesus' power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We look at our past and we say, well, maybe I don't like the growth that I've seen. It hasn't been enough. It's not because of lack of power. So in the present moment, and we look to the future, we know there's possibility of change. There's great possibility of growth. I'm not stuck with where I have been, maybe even for decades. There's possibility of growth because it's not just on my shoulders. It's not just me. The power of God, divine power. That's the how. But also the Bible makes it clear it's not only God. It is us moving towards this, working, making every effort. A number of verses, Philippians 2, verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is the idea, the picture is pursue this, for it's God who works in you. Work, strive, toil. What a worthy aim to give yourself to. I mean, step back, slow down, think about your life. If someone looking from the outside would say, okay, here are this guy's, this person's priorities, where would spiritual formation be on the list? We have to consider this because God calls us to this great zeal in this specific area. Depending on God's power, this is not legalism, right? By his strength, pursuing these things because we long for communion with God. So the agent, God and us at work. I like the way it's a little confusing, but Francis Schaeffer talks about the active passivity of the Christian life. You hear that? Like, what does that mean? It's active, we're working, we're striving, we're doing all that we can, but it's passive in the sense that we're always depending, always resting, always, no, it's only by his power that any of this action will be cause any fruit to happen. So God and me, and then just also more specifically the way, what does this look like day to day? It's by the power of the gospel that we see true formation. And it's only from this foundation of what Christ has done for us. It's only when we experience the new life that Christ gives. The regeneration is the way Scripture speaks of it, where we're actually brought from death to life. This is the Christian message. We come to Jesus as sinners in need. We put our trust in him, and there's new birth. There's new life. We're made new. And it's only from that foundation of new life that we can then grow and be built and develop into something. So I think what often happens, I think clarity here is so important, is that sometimes within Christendom, through different branches of the church, there's a lot of confusion here. And people are invited just to follow after Jesus. People are invited, and the focus is all on just walking in the way of Jesus. Jesus is a wonderful example. Jesus is someone we should follow. But the heart of spiritual formation as we come to Scripture is not just, hey, everyone, look at Jesus. He was such an amazing man, and he lived in the kingdom. He lived in an amazing way. Let's all walk and follow Jesus together. Right? There's an aspect that that's true, right? But only if we've already come to Jesus in our sinfulness and found new life in him. Only if the regeneration has happened. Only if we have life can there be anything built upon it. So I think it's so important to be clear here. We come to Jesus first as Savior. And then as our Savior, yes, we follow his example. We walk in his way. But new life comes before any formation. And again, this has been all throughout church history. I love the way John Owen illustrates this. He's kind of comparing the teaching of philosophers who had no gospel change in their teaching. He says the difference between just this external call to change behavior, the difference between just this external call to change or walk in a certain way and the way of Jesus, the way of true heart change, the difference is like the difference between the sun painted on a sign and the sun up in the sky. There's no light or heat coming from the sun and the sign, is what he says. So we can picture a billboard maybe on the horizon, and maybe the artist is so good that if you're driving from a certain direction, you look at it and think, oh man, that really looks like the sun. Maybe mistaken, it looks so good that it looks like the sun, but that sun on the billboard is not giving life to the world. It's not producing any light or heat. And that's the difference here. We must know the grace of Jesus before any formation happens. We must be made new. And then as we continue our lives day after day, we never move from that point where we're looking to Jesus, trusting in Jesus, knowing that it's his amazing grace in giving himself for us, his amazing love that will motivate us to that love. Right? As we see him more clearly, we see him and his love through the cross. That is the process going back to the gospel, what he has done, his amazing, generous love. That is the how of spiritual formation. Obeying not out of this like slavish fear, scared of what he might do, but standing in awe of him, wanting to please him, and then moving towards love. It's so important to see that we do not contribute anything to this formation. We're not growing in these ways, developing so that God is more pleased with us. There's no merit involved, and that's been confused in some segments of Christendom. There's no merit in doing these things. Jesus gave himself for me, perfectly accepted me, and so now I continue to grow in grace. Let me close. We've already gone too long just with understanding the when. A few quick thoughts. This is not instantaneous. It's a process. All of life. I was really disappointed this week in meeting Barton, Eric, and I meet on Mondays, and I brought up Captain America. And Eric has never seen Captain America, the movie. And I thought, how do you not see the Avengers movie, right? Because in Captain America, this little squirt, right, gets in this whatever machine, not time machine, whatever it is, right? Little squirt, short guy gets in, and he comes out, he's Captain America, he's huge. Like, in an instant, like, how nice would that be? Instead of long years of working out, boom, grew 6 inches, added a bunch of muscle. Well, that's not what spiritual formation is, if you're following me. It's not instantaneous. It's a process. Martin Luther said this life is not righteousness, but growth in righteousness. And what should we expect in our lives? There will be times when this is going great and times when it's difficult. And that's normal for Christian living. Times when we see more of our sin and selfishness, and that's actually the way we are growing. Times when it's difficult, times when it's so hard, and we're encouraged again to depend upon Christ. It's not, I don't want to give the picture that it's just from strength to strength. We leave here and all is good. We just become these loving people that never struggle. That's not what we come to here. So, we can close. I hope you hear the challenge of this message. What a gift that this is something we can pursue for our own hearts and for those around us, for our community. If we are all being deeply formed spiritually, what a gift. What a beautiful place of love this would be. Think of how this would affect our relationships in our homes if we become more like Christ. It's a challenge for us, but also an encouragement. You are not alone. God is with you and for you. In this very process, we can lean on him. And we all know as we get older, our outer man is wasting away. But because of the grace of Jesus, our inner man can be being renewed day after day. The slow growth towards spiritual, true spiritual formation. So may God help us and encourage us. In the coming weeks, we'll look at how Scripture helps us in this path, and then how prayer moves us towards this growth. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that these truths are given to us so clearly in Scripture. With all that has been said, Father, we pray that you would fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who is the image of the invisible God, the one who shows us that you are love, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And as we experience him, as we grow in our intimacy with Jesus, may this shape us and change us and build us. May we grow more and more being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We pray now as we close that you would continue to convict us and encourage us, build us up in the faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.